Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I told you this is, you know, one of the things I told you that I'm praying about this month is direction. And I don't know that I have everything that I'm looking for or need, but I will tell you one decision that I have made is we are going to focus on, this is a Holy Spirit church. This is our hope. This is our victory. This is our success. Is flowing in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And this is, as I said, this is not a spectator sport. So, you know, you can decide to get on board and work your way in, or you can let the Holy Spirit deal with you. And maybe a lot tougher isn't the right word, but you'll either get in or out. That's the direction we're going. We have been talking about signs, wonders, and miracles for years, and so it's time to do what God has said we're supposed to do. Amen. So with that, we are continuing today, going to be starting to share about hearing the voice, how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. I've got lots of notes. I don't know how far we'll get. I don't know what else the Holy Spirit wants to do this morning. Going to just try and follow Him. And and this isn't just Wayne and I leading the church anymore. This is a group participation thing. As I said, I maybe one of the reasons why we are attendance where we are, because it's time for you guys to get your act together and start tapping into the Holy Spirit. You are supposed to be operating in the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Either here or out there or both. But everyone is supposed to be operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's the church we are. I had it, had someone write me an email recently, who had been here in the past, and one of the reasons they weren't continuing is because of the dead congregation here. And they saw that Wayne and I want to move in the Holy Spirit. But for the most part, people aren't coming with us. And that's why they're not here anymore. So, take with that what God is speaking to you. It's not judgment, it's not condemnation. But it is God saying to you, you know, and don't try to figure out who it is. Just see where it applies to you. Amen? Amen. Okay, hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. We're going to start in John 16, verse 7, 13 and 15. And I've got a lot to do, and I don't know how far I'm going, so if I talk fast, I apologize. So, and if, I don't know if the guys can keep up at all, probably not. But anyhow, John 16, verse 7, 13, 15. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Jesus is speaking here. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. I want to pick out some things. Holy Spirit, this is some of his jobs. He will guide you into all truth. Whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me. So, you know, our life is centered in the Holy Spirit. Whether you believe you're baptized in the Holy Spirit or not, or whether you believe in being baptized in the Holy Spirit or not, if you are going on with God, if you are a sold out to God individual, then the Holy Spirit is operating in you. Amen. You know, if you're just going through the motions, you know, the Holy Spirit is still in you, but he's not flowing through you. You know, one way of saying it is you're not filled with the Spirit. If you're not filled with the Spirit, you're going backwards. Why do I say that? Because I've been there, done it, you know, too many times. And if we're not keeping moving forward, then we fall backwards. And so this is an area, and I know, you know, Wayne and I were talking the other day, and I was just praising God for how far that I've come, because I was talking to him about, I think I'm going to make a list of everything that has gone wrong so far this year. And just for me, it's because, you know, I have not arrived, But there's that phrase, I'm not sure if it's scripture even or not, is these things, I am not moved by these things, or these things do not move me. And I'm getting to the point where, you know, in one, you know, just, what was it, just this past week? I have my brother, we have Dave, we have Lee, we have stuff dealing with Wayne. I had my own things that I was dealing with, you know, had family things to deal with, and it's just like, oh, well, God will provide. You know, I heard Fred Price teach, you know, when we first started in the ministry, Fred Price would talk about how, you know, how all these things would go wrong and nothing would move him, and, you know, he would be fine, just rejoicing in the Lord kind of thing, and used to really doubt whether figured he had to be lying, didn't think you could get to that point. But it's been coming back to me and recognizing, no, you can live there. We can live in a spot where none of these things move me. And there is going to be more and more things going on around us, but that's what we need to come to the point, and that's what the Holy Spirit is for, to get to that point of none of these things move me. Whether it's a little aggravation, you know, whether it's kids, whether it's spouse, whether it's job, or whether it's sickness, or whether it's a big aggravation, you know, or whether it's in the government, whether it's in society, whether it's another hurricane, whether it's another earthquake, whether it's another tornado, whatever it may be, none of these things move me because I know who I am. And that's where we need to get to. And it's not like, okay, once I get there, I've arrived. No, it's a continual daily thing. I have to watch what I focus on every single day. I have to watch what my focus is every single hour because it's very easy to get sidetracked. Amen. We don't focus on the problem. This is something that I have learned in the past couple years. It's a waste of time and energy to focus on the problem. Focus on the answer. That's the only way you're going to get out of the problem, and you're not going to go through the problem over and over again. It's focus on the answer, and our answer is Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. Amen. But if we don't focus in the right direction, we will have rotten weeks. And you will come in here Sunday mornings just had a rotten week. Everything went wrong. And how in the world do we move in the Holy Spirit when all my focus is because I had a rotten week and I've got to go to church. No, we need to come in here expecting. We need to come in here excited. No matter how things have gone, but I'm coming to receive from the answer. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, that has nothing to do with my message. That was just something extra. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, who are we? We are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. You've heard this taught for as long as we've been here. You've heard this message taught. So, where does God speak to us? He doesn't speak to us in our body. He doesn't speak to us in our soul, which is what? Our mind, will, and emotions. He doesn't speak there. He speaks in our spirit. So that's where we need to find the answer. That's where we need to find the voice of God, is in our spirit. And it's not an instant, okay, I'm born again, now I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, so I know the voice of God. I always get it right. No, we don't. It's a process. It's a learning thing. You know, you're being introduced to this new person, and you have to learn about them. You have to learn how they talk. You know, maybe they have an accent, and so it takes you a while to figure out. You know, that's why Wayne and I started using subtitles, because we were watching British shows on TV and didn't have a clue what in the world they were saying. So with the subtitles, oh, that's what you're saying. Well, it's kind of like the same thing with the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's what you meant by that. Oh, that's why you talked to me. And it's an individual thing. I'm going to go through today some things with ways that the Holy Spirit will speak to us, but it is an individual thing. You have to find where God speaks to you and how you hear his voice individually. And as I said, it's not a, okay, I forget it, I can't get this right, or No. The oftener that you know that you've heard the voice of God, the more encouraging it is, the more that you know, okay, that's what it sounded like. And so the next time, I got it wrong. But we can practice and keep going, and so we get it right more often than we get it wrong. And there's, you know, that's one of the things that the body is for, to help us to know, did you heard from God here? No, you didn't hear from God here. Okay? Okay. Ah, praise God. I should have done this in a bigger font because it's just a little bit too small. Okay. So, ways that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. What do you think the first one is? The Word of God. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, God did not speak to you. That's, you can be guaranteed 100% of the time, if it does not agree with the Word of God, God did not speak to you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is living and powerful. It's not just a book. It's not some old dead book that just is there. No, it's living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. As we get in, one of the reasons why we're supposed to get into the Word, one of the reasons why people don't like to get into the Word, because it may show them where they're doing it wrong. It may expose the sin. You know, we may think we're doing well and then get in the Word of God and say, I'm not doing as good as I thought I was. So it's better to, you know, I don't want to get in the Word because then I'm going to see where I'm at. And so instead of that, well, we just won't read the Word. You know, we'll have excuses. I don't have the time, or it's boring, or I don't understand it. You know, there is no excuse. When you stand before God, amen, Nothing will be an excuse. You can't even say, I don't know how to read. Not in the times that we live in. You can get it on the internet. You can get it on CD. You know, you can get it audiobooks. You know, so there is no reason, no excuse for us not to be in the Word of God. If you're not in the Word of God on a daily basis, you're going backwards. Guarantee it. Well, I don't understand. Well, it's a works thing. No, it's not a works thing. It's a life. Reading the Word of God is not works. It is your life source. I read the Word of God for years. Didn't understand a lot of it. But you know what? Now, 40, 50 years later, now things come to me on a regular basis. It's a process. You know, Wayne could spout them off. You know, I still don't know references. I know what it says. It says in there, so I ask, Wayne, where is this? Yada, yada, yada. So I'm not, you know, I don't have it all memorized. Like some people, they just memorize portions. I memorized 1 Corinthians 13 as a kid because I was in missionettes. It was a Christian girls, Girl Scouts, that kind of a thing. And so I had to memorize, to earn one of my badges, I had to memorize 1 Corinthians 13, stand up in front of the congregation and quote it. I can't do that now. So it's not just in memorization, it's application. Okay, let's continue here. Next one, so we have the Word of God is the first one, and this, the rest of this list is not in order. It's just these are the ones I came up with. There may be others. I'm not saying this is an all-inclusive list, but these are ones that I came up with between what Wayne has taught in the past and some other things that I came up with too. Another one is the inward witness. It tells us in Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The inward witness, is, as we have taught over the years, it's like a red light, green light kind of thing, or a yes or no. Say you're facing a situation. Maybe it's a decision you need to make, or should I buy this car, or, you know, things like that. And you actually ask God about it. You know, that's step one. You actually ask God to help you with it. And so this is the easiest one, the easiest way to learn that the Holy Spirit, and when I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, God, Jesus, all of them speak to us. It's the Holy Spirit is within us. So they all speak, but they use the Holy Spirit to speak, you know. Unless if you have a vision and Jesus is actually speaking to you, then it's directly Jesus. But it's still, it's God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus. Doesn't matter who it is. It's all coming from the same source. They're all going to say the same thing. Okay? So wherever you give credit. But we're taking it from the Holy Spirit perspective. Let's see. So the inward witness, like a red light, green light. Maybe it's a confirmation. You know, it's a feeling of peace is the easiest way to describe it. You know, we've talked about, you know, we had one time in our lives, we paid cash for a car. And so, you know, we went and, you know, we had the cash, so, you know, we're going to go buy a car. And so we went and I have an aversion. I hate, actually, that's my number one hate to do is buy a car. So Wayne was in with the guy and I was in the car and Jeff was with him. Jeff was the go-between. So Wayne was in there, and so, you know, say things, and then he'd send Jeff out to tell me, and I'd say, go back in, and that kind of thing. But anyhow, we bought the car. Big mistake. No. And if we look back at it, neither one of us had real peace with it, but we didn't know enough about, you know, these kind of things, so we bought the car. And we, like I said, we had trouble with it every bit after that, you know. So cash for the car, total waste of money, because the car was problem. Yeah, problem from the beginning, okay? We did that. We told you the story about the freezer years ago, before we even went to Rhema. You know, we bought, buying a used freezer. And once again, I looked at it, looked good to me. Wayne went to pick it up. We didn't talk about it. You know, this is a clue here. If you're a couple, always talk about major decisions before you make them. And not just talk about them, always come into agreement before you make a major purchase. It will save a lot of pain and frustration and money in the future. Okay? That's a side one. But anyhow, you know, it's having that peace. And if another one, years ago, did it messed up twice. Many of you remember the story of when we went to Virginia Beach. It was, how old is he now? 16 years ago? 16 years ago. So Shell had this, you know, she found this worship seminar or full church seminar, I think it was. Full church seminar. It looked really good. And part of it was they told you could rent a house on Virginia Beach and take a whole bunch of people. So that's what we did. We took the worship group that was, you know, with Wayne and I and Jeff and Shell and Ed and, Children's Ministry people, yeah, Bill and Wendy with us, you know, so a big group of people. And with this trip, it just did not set well with me, but you already have your registration page. You already have your down payment for the place. You have all of these people. If you make the decision that, you know, that we're not going because it doesn't set right with me, you're having a lot of disappointment, you know. So instead of making that decision, we went on the trip. Well, we came back from the trip. It was the most horrible conference we ever went to. We went to hardly any of the services because what they were teaching and just the atmosphere and everything, nobody wanted to go to the conference. So we made very little because also on top of that, the first night we got there, Cody was 2 years old at the time. Cody was running down the hall playing with Miss Wendy. It's Miss Wendy's fault, right? She's not in here. We can blame her. And so Cody's running down the hall, falls and breaks his thigh bone, breaks his upper leg. So needless to say, it was not a good trip. We had to stay because, Oh, yes. We also, it wasn't just that Cody broke his leg and they spent the night in the hospital and, you know, it's just, it was horrible. And then because of the type of break he had, we were all investigated for child abuse. So we had to stay and they came and investigated and interviewed each of us individually, wanting to know where we were, what we were doing, the whole deal when this happened. Because of the break. So, needless to say, God wanted to protect us from all of that, and we couldn't go back to Virginia for a year or so, because we were still in the system. But anyhow, like I said, it was not a good trip. So you think I would have learned my lesson with that one, right? Well, it was probably 6 months or so later or less, that Wayne and I and Jeff, Living Water, we used to be on their board, advisory board for Living Water teaching, and so they had a trip, and we were going to Florida. And who doesn't want to go to Florida? I don't remember what time of year it was. But anyhow, it was spring, yeah, because it would have been awful up here. And so anyhow, we went to Florida. We flew to Florida and, you know, and had that same sense of just something isn't right here. And so we fly to Florida. What happens? Sick. Oh, I was so sick. I mean, it didn't end up in the hospital, but, you know, it was, I was in such severe pain. And so Wayne and Jeff went to the meeting and told him, so they prayed for me. So I was healed miraculously. I mean, the pain just went overnight. But also, you know, you go to Florida, you want to sit out, you know. When we went to Florida, there was a sandstorm. Did you ever try to sit out by the pool? with a sandstorm going on. It's very painful. So it was the most horrible, I don't know if we've been back to Florida since then. It was the most horrible trip, but once again, the Holy Spirit was warning me, I just didn't listen. And it wasn't, thou shalt not go to Florida, you know, thou shalt not go to Virginia. No, it was just this inside thing. It just, something isn't sitting right. I'll tell you what, I have never made that mistake again. I learned out of two mistakes, I have never made that mistake again. Never made it. I don't think I've made any really big boo-boos since then because I've learned to follow that. So once again, it's not just, well, this is convenient. It would be nice if God would tell me. No, it can be life and death. You know, and not just yours. It can cause pain into other people's lives around you. So it's very important that we learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. Okay? So that one was inward witness, okay? The next one is, for lack of a better way of saying it, I call it the checklist. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So here is our checklist. You're going to make a decision and you're not sure whether it's right or not. Then, okay, first of all, righteousness. Is my life, righteousness means life as it should be. Life as God designed it. Can I experience life as God designed it if I make this decision? Another one, peace. Can I operate? Can I live in peace if I make this decision? Let's see here. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 in the Amplified Version says, and let peace, soul harmony which comes from the Christ rule, act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. In that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ, one body, you were all called to live and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. Wayne has taught this in the past this way. Peace acts as our umpire. That's one of the first things that you ask yourself when you're making a decision. Can I do this and have peace? You know, as we sang about this morning, can I do this and have joy? If the decision that I'm about to make, I cannot operate in righteousness. In other words, you know, living as God designed my life, and and there's also the scripture in Proverbs, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. If the decision I am making is going to cause problems in my family, it's going to cause, you know, how many people, you know, over the years, you know, they're moving, and okay, God's called them to do this, God's told them to do that, you know, go here, go there. Well, the first thing you need to find out, if God's telling you to go somewhere, is there a church that will build you up, that will you will continue to grow in the Lord? Because over the years, we were just talking this morning, how many people have left here and moved somewhere else, and their lives just went downhill. They did not go onward and upward in the Lord. You know, this went wrong and that went wrong. And if they stayed in a church, you know, they either backslid or they just went backwards. It's very important if you're going to move somewhere that there is a church. You need the body of Christ. You cannot make it on your own. Unless God has called you somewhere, then his grace and his anointing will go with you and you will have the strength to go onward and upward. But generally, if you don't have a church to support you, I've told you here, Sunday morning is not enough to keep you going forward. You have got to have some way to feed yourself during the week. If you're not going to a small group, you had better be in the Word every day, once a day, twice a day. You may have it better have an established prayer life. You better have word, you know, you better have books that you're reading that bring you closer to God. You better have CDs that you're listening to. And you better have, you know, if you're watching on TV or the internet, you better be watching in people that are moving you onward and upward in God, and you're not listening. This guy's teaching this doctrine, and this guy's teaching an opposing doctrine. You better know that they're teaching the Word of God, because it will mess you up. None of us are that. I'm not there. You're not there. We are not that superior. Our lives are not that much that, you know, that we can just handle that. No. We think so sometimes, but no. You may be going through a temporary time where you know, you're limited on how much you can spend with the body of Christ, but you cannot afford not to do what I'm talking about. I tell you one thing, you will not hear the voice of God. Because that's the thing. If we're not abiding, if we're not drawing closer to him, you won't know what the voice of God is. Okay. I will tell you, we will not get through this message. Okay. Let's see here. Where are we? The inward voice. What we're talking about here is there's that scripture in, I don't remember where it's at. I think it's maybe Isaiah. It says, you know, I don't remember who it was either. But God, he wanted to say God, and God wasn't in the fire. God wasn't in the flood. God wasn't in the wind. God was a still, small voice. Okay? And so that's, you know, another way that God speaks to us, this still, small voice. And this is how I'm going to compare it, you know. I'll just give you some words and see, you know, if you can tap into this and say, oh, yeah, I remember when that happened to me. You may call it a hunch, a perception, an idea, an impression, a thought, but the thought is not in your head. That's one of the things is God doesn't speak in our heads. God speaks down here somewhere. And like I said, you have to spend enough time with him. That's one of the purposes of meditation. They help us to tap into where the voice of God is speaking to us. But I have found this operates a lot in my life now. You know, it's just that impression. It's that reminder. It's, you know, I have this Holy Spirit reminder. You know, my memory does not work as well as it used to, and which can be very frustrating. But I have a Holy Spirit reminder. And how many times, you know, God, through the Holy Spirit, has reminded me, you know, you forgot this. You need to do this. You need to stop there. You need to, you know, and it's practical things, you know, remembering, oh, yeah, you need to go to the bank when you're not all the way home, you know, or you need to get milk when you're not all the way home, or you know, you need to get gas here because it's more expensive over there, you know, little things. But that's the Holy Spirit. He cares that much about us. But one of the things in training ourselves is that can be the Holy Spirit, but it can also be no. It's not. It's just us. Or, you know, some flaky whatever, outside voice. So that's where it's a training thing. That's why it's good, you know, a lot of times if you think something is God, write it down. So then you can go back and say, yeah, that was God, or no, that wasn't God. But it's a good way to train ourselves, you know, to sort it out, because it's a process. It's not, you know, say playing golf, which I don't know how to play, but Wayne used to play. And golf is not just, you know, okay, get out there and get three lessons and okay, I've arrived, I'm a good golfer. Well, if anybody knows anything about golf, you know that's not true. It's a continuing thing, and it's, you know, so much focus and meditation and everything that goes along with being good at golf. Well, it's the same principle with the Holy Spirit. It's not just, okay, I've got it. It doesn't work that way. But we should be progressing forward. You know, we should be farther along knowing the voice of God this year than we were last year. You know, and as I said, it's not just a convenient thing to know. It's our life. It's our successful, victorious living life. Put it that way. Okay, let's see. Next one, visions. There's different visions, people that had visions in the Bible. One I'm going to use is Cornelius in Acts chapter 3. He said about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And so we see that, you know, God speaks in visions. And I'm not going to go in a lot of detail. You know, there's talk about, well, this is teaching, there's open visions, there's closed visions, you know, and I don't have a whole lot of notes on that. But God speaks in visions. If he did it in the Bible, he still does it today. Okay? Let's see. Trances. And I think we're going to do this one, and then we're going to stop here and continue later. But trances, I've never heard, Wayne didn't have trances in his notes, and I've been reading, I read a book about the Holy Spirit by John G. Lake, and that's, I never heard anybody teach on trances, and then reading his book, and he was a strong believer in trances, and he experienced trances, and I didn't bring his book in, but he actually, you know, he went to South Africa. Before he went to South Africa, through times of prayer and meditation, he would go in these trances, and he would actually see. He saw the political state. He saw the religious state. He actually traveled through portions of Africa in a trance when he was in America. And then when he got to Africa, he already knew all this stuff. And the people, he knew about the government. He knew about, you know, the society, what was going on. It just, I've never heard anybody, you know, never read anything about anybody experiencing something like that. I just thought it was phenomenal to be that developed in hearing the voice of God. So in Acts chapter 10 in the Bible, it talks about Peter. In verse 10, he says, "Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and an object like a great sheep abounding at the four corners, descending in him and led him down to the earth." And then in Acts 22, verse 17, we talk about Paul having being in a trance. He says, "Now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I was in a trance and saw him saying to me, 'Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me.'" Now, I looked up definition of dreams, looked up definition of vision, looked up definition of trance. They're all different words, different Greek words that they're using. When I read the definition of trance, I've never heard anybody share this. I don't even know if I understand it all, but as I read this, I'm going to actually read this definition of trance from Strong's. And this definition is, in most churches, if you just read this and said, this is things that we can experience, pretty much most churches would say, no, this is demonic. You stay away from this. Don't you ever do anything like this. Let me read you the definition of a trance. A throwing of the mind out of its normal state. Alienation of mind, whether such as makes a lunatic or that of a man who by some sudden emotion is transported, as it were, out of himself. So that in this rapt condition, although he is awake, his mind is drawn off from all surrounding objects and wholly fixed on things divine, that he sees nothing but the forms and images lying within, and thinks that he perceives with his bodily eyes and ears realities shown him by God. Isn't that spooky? See, all this stuff in the world, you know, this ESP and all this stuff, you know, all this consciousness stuff and everything, it came from God first. It's just, you know, it's been stolen, it's been perverted. So, you know, it's using wisdom, but this is God stuff. We haven't even tapped into the possibilities of what we, you know, none of us have been transported yet like Philip. Yeah, that's possible. None of us have walked on water like Jesus. That's possible. All these things, you know, if they're in the Word, God started it. So let's be open to what the Holy Spirit is doing. Amen? Praise God.